Ground Cover News is a nonprofit street paper that was founded in April 2010 as a means to empower low-income persons to make the transitions from homeless to housed and from jobless to employed. Vendors purchase each copy of the Ground Cover News regular edition at our office for 50 cents. This money goes towards production costs. Vendors work selling the paper on the street for $2, keeping all income and tips from each sale. This audio production was made possible by the Ann Arbor District Library, recorded at Fifth Avenue Studios. If you consistently enjoy Ground Cover Speaks, continuing to buy physical newspapers from Ground Cover vendors ensures that we can sustain production. The physical paper and in-person interaction is at the heart of our work. You can find the link to our next audio recording in the upcoming print issue of Ground Cover News. Thanks for listening.
Special thanks to our print advertisers, the People's Food Co-op, St. Francis of Assisi Parish, First Baptist Church, Bethlehem United Church of Christ, the Office of Community and Economic Development, Cineholic, Art on a Journey, Ann Arbor for Public Power, Four Directions, and the Ypsilanti Food Co-op.
Love Like the Seasons, Monique Caldwell, Ground Cover contributor. Through winter's hush and summer's blaze, our love endures the shifting days. Born of laughter, rooted deep, in friendship soil, its promise keeps. When storms arrive and tempests roar, we hold the line, we mend, restore. Not fleeting like a springtime bloom, but steady as the autumn moon. We bend like trees in April rain, yet rise again despite the strain. In every season, joy or pain, we find the sun, we start again. No frost can freeze what we have grown. No drought can crack this love we've known. For hearts that first were friends, then more, are built to last through every war.
Beer Cooler Employees Assault Black Woman, written by Mike Jones, Vendor 113. An Ypsilanti convenience store was closed following the August 31st altercation involving a fight inside the store, which was recorded on video. The video of the fight between the two employees and a female customer spread on social media and caused concern about violence against the unhoused and mentally ill. The resulting uproar caused the Beer Cooler at 22 South Washington Street in downtown Ypsilanti to close pending investigation. Online record shows that police in investigating a report of vandalism and a simple assault at the shop's location. Ypsilanti Police Chief Timothy Anderson declined to comment on the incident, citing the investigation as still open and ongoing. Every member of the community deserves to feel safe, valued, and treated with dignity regarding of the circumstances, Ypsilanti Mayor Nicole Brown wrote on Facebook. The video of this incident has been circulating broadly, and the visual is disturbing. Please be mindful of what you are watching and take care of yourself. Brown said she had been in contact with the store owner, and they discussed accountability and taking steps towards repairing the community. The city of Ypsilanti released a statement about the incident as well, asking the public to be patient while the police investigate the incident. The video circulated online, which lasted less than a minute. A woman is seen throwing items in the store while cursing. Moments later, a male employee grabs the woman. The two employees, both men and the women, are then seen in the video wildly flailing at each other before thrown to the ground. One employee is recorded dragging her out of the store, while another picks up a wooden stick and briefly holds it up like he is about to swing. He lowers the sticks after making eye contact with the camera recording him. The woman is dragged out of the store as she continues to kick at the employees and call them bitches. Someone Someone is heard calling 911 in the background as the woman is dragged out. The video ended with the woman on the sidewalk outside of the store appearing to spit at the employees. Someone is also heard laughing during the ordeal. Community organizers have been vocalizing their concerns about the incident. Let me say this loud and clear. What happened at the beer cooler is a reflection of the unsafe environment we have for black women around here. Tisha Duckworth, executive director of Survivor Speak, wrote on Facebook, "As a black woman, I didn't feel like my safety is important to the men of our community. Heck, my biggest bully is the work have been men in this country. Not all, but many. Seeing the woman being beat like that, following by all the dumb comments, makes me feel even less safe." Several social media posts circulated stating there would be a protest at the September 9th City Council meeting regarding the incident in the store. Glenn Page, Ground Cover News vendor 407, who grew up in Washtenaw County like myself, told me about the incident. "I went downtown Ypsilanti to sell papers around 4 p.m. when I ran into Glenn. He said, I just missed a protest at the beer cooler. He explained what happened, and we both expressed our feelings about the situation. 2 days after the assault, September 2nd, I drove by the beer cooler to see the store was open. A crowd of people was outside of the storefront with cell phone cameras in hand, along with the owner of the beer cooler. I parked my car and got out to get some pictures when I ran into someone I knew who shared the video with me. The very next morning, I ran into the victim of the assault in downtown Ann Arbor. I told her I was from Ground Cover News, and I asked her for an interview. After she got done lighting her cigarette, she politely declined my request. I noticed she had visual face swelling as I wish her well. I also asked the beer cooler store owner for an interview or a statement, but he declined. Tuesday, September 9th, Women on the Move, led by local business owner Ms. Chapman, held a protest in front of City Hall before the scheduled Ypsilanti City Council meeting, where protesters held up signs saying, "Enough is enough." Ms. Chapman and Women on the Move attended the City Council meeting and voiced their concerns and asked for a resolution to be brought before council to protect black women, the unhoused, and the mentally ill. No resolution has been enacted. On September 10th, two employees at the Ypsilanti Beer Cooler were charged by the Washtenaw County Prosecutor's Office in connection with the physical altercation that occurred on August 31st, 2025. Ypsilanti Police Department investigated the case, with the results of the investigating leading to the charges against the two employees. 2 weeks after the incident, the store reopened.
October 3rd, 2025, Ways That Domestic and Other Abuses Can Impact You, by D.A. Ground Cover Writer. October is the month that recognizes domestic violence. I want to include other forms of abuse too. I am a domestic violence survivor, and I have recently been the victim of other forms of abuse as well. I was in two abusive relationships, one in my early 20s and again in my late 30s. First, I'll speak to the relationship that occurred in my 20s. The man was 23 years older than me. He was very kind and generous at the beginning. I was having some family struggles, and he seemed to be the kind of man that I could share a lifetime with despite the age difference. Well, I was sadly mistaken. Once I became pregnant by him, he began to openly see other women. When I questioned him about it, He slapped me so hard that was the end of that conversation for that day. He apologized and promised to never do it again. Then he took me shopping and gave me some money. And for a long time, he did not do it until after I gave birth to our daughter, who is in her 30s now. After I gave birth, he was back to his cheating ways. Once again, I asked him about it. And he slapped me and hit me several times and busted my lip. Then he told me to shut up and cook him some dinner. I cooked the dinner and sucked it up. At that point, I wanted to make it work for the sake of our daughter so that she'd have a father, since my father was not in my life after a certain age and is not to this day. After 2 years of being abused about every 4 or 5 months, and once where I had almost killed him in self-defense, I left. I have permanent black eyes from him giving me a total of 3 black eyes. I did not indulge in a relationship for 4 years after that. I will not be in an abusive relationship ever again. I have a daughter who is now 15 years old. I left her dad when she was 7 months old. I later gave him custody due to losing my babysitting job when the baby I watched turned 3 and a half and started preschool. I lost my ability to pay rent and work because her dad told me that he would not care for our daughter unless I paid him. He also got her put into foster care thinking that lying about me would make the court give him custody. That backfired on him and me, and she went to foster care for 16 months. So I gave him custody to get her out of foster care. This worked until she turned 10 years old. I gave birth to her at age 41 years of age. Before she was born, I confided in him about some terrible and life-changing experiences that happened to me. He has used that and done everything he can to hurt me using our daughter. He moved and isolated her from me since she turned 10. This is not just cruel to me, but a very horrible thing to do to a child as well. I am currently taking care of that through the courts. There were some mailing errors and other aspects of this situation that have prolonged this process. I have also been subjected to being illegally taken and injected with drugs that I wasn't supposed to have been by medical professionals at hospitals that I won't name for my own future safety and well-being. I have PTSD from the numerous traumas in my life. I'm not court ordered to take any psychotropic drugs. This caused me to have mental episodes as a result of being illegally restrained and injected with drugs I won't name. This mostly occurred when I became homeless and after I suffered some injuries from being hit by a car on my bike some years ago. I am much better now and not homeless. I had to contact medical records and have and am still taking steps to correct my medical records. Even before all of this, I had been abused physically and had a lot of false and extraneous charges put on me by the Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti police. I did not have a criminal history until I moved to Washtenaw County. I have reported these abuses to the superior offices and community mental health at the jail when I came in with my arms swollen from my elbows all the way down to my hands and nothing was done. I have been assaulted 5 times and the individuals were never charged. 3 of the assaults took place at the shelter at Ann Arbor. Not one of the 5 assailants faced any consequences. When you are wrongfully incarcerated for charges and cannot bond yourself out, you are at risk of losing everything you have without even being convicted of a crime. So, for a lot of the charges, I took plea deals to get out of jail. This criminalizes you, changes the whole perspective of your true person and character in the eyes of the Department of Justice. It also affects your ability to obtain some housing and career, and a career that earns a livable wage. So now I have very little, if any, trust in police, courts, and CMH organizations. Not all individuals are untrustworthy, but a lot of illegal paperwork and practices are facilitated by and through these people, especially when you are not economically well off. As far as relationships, they are not as important as they used to seem to me. I will, in the present and future, choose to date only a holy man and try not to indulge in sexual relationships until I marry someone. If it happens, that is my choice.
Make Peace with Yourself by Ken Parks, Ground Cover Vendor 490. Human beings generally struggle with authenticity. We naturally have great respect for those among us who are at ease with themselves and radiate some primordial quality of love and joy with the confidence that we are on the path of awakening. When we feel our survival is at risk, we may relapse into habitual ego patterns of self and other, and thereby lose our own authenticity. This common egocentric division of reality into two parts is the ignorance that creates worlds of suffering and the confusion that follows. Among our ancestors and the teachers that we discover in this life, we will find the teacher who will help us recognize the stage of the path we are in now and how to mature into a more complete awareness of reality. If you follow Einstein's advice on the importance of curiosity and imagination, you will experience reality with the embrace of solidarity that surrounds us. Life embraces life. I say this with some confidence after nearly 83 years of stumbling in and out of miracles. As my doubt returns, I make poor choices until pain awakens me and I remember that love is the law. Dion Fortune, a creative writer from the British esoteric spiritual tradition, introduced those words to me. Before macular degeneration hit me, I read widely and often, "The challenge of declining vision is tough." It took a year before I went for help from a neighbor in the ground cover community to open and access a post from my nephew about functional medicine and the work of Dr. George Rosakis. I listened to his podcast and believe it is more advanced science than the standard operating model in ophthalmology. When corporations and profits take over the bureaucracies that oversee our public health, it appears that health is forsaken for procedures that have become entrenched due to the wealth that is extracted in the patient care mandated by insurance companies and investors. Of course, I am out on a limb and struggle to bring Kellogg Vision Care into a collaboration with the functional medicine of Dr. George Rosakis. Dr. Ravi Vadlamudi, the well-known bicycle doctor who goes from patient to patient on a bike, is giving me a referral. Will United Healthcare recognize that referral? What is my responsibility for my decline in vision? My basic dilemma is about writing my memoirs. Will I finish them before I die? Ground Cover is helping me with articles with print and keyboards for the visually challenged. I wish the same setup to do my memoirs. Of course, there is money involved. Will the system pay for functional medicine? Will I be able to find support to get a computer monitor and keyboard as an expression of unity in the community? In order to finish anything, especially to do it well, love for what you are doing is the key and is the main ingredient. Labors of love build unity in the community. That was the intended point of my Labor Power article in the August 22nd Ground Cover News. Our labor power is awesome, especially when we collaborate with good intentions. How do we benefit all beings without leaving anyone behind? That intentions, when practiced with mindful awareness, will bring your own peace of mind to the next step of maturity. The ability to benefit others and share peace in the world grows from this intention. The discipline needed to make peace with yourself is developed by paying attention to what you are doing again and again until it becomes the natural flow we call in the zone. In 1967, when I met Thich Nhat Hanh, a Buddhist monk who came from Vietnam to the United States at the invitation of the Fellowship of Reconciliation, I was witness to a man at peace with himself who could look at us and the war with great equanimity. His appeal was simple. Whatever you can do to end the war. Mix that with Martin Luther King's Breaking the Silence, and I naturally became a draft resister. Eventually, the need to resist evolved into projects to do something good. The peak of this for me was on the Pastors for Peace caravans to Cuba. The solidarity we expressed was greeted with great passion as the Cuban state and people enthusiastically greeted us as heroes. It is still important to resist evil, and the best resistance is to do something good. I believe you can sit on your cushion and meditate on mindfulness of breath, then mindfulness of mind as a first step to the awareness that allows you to do good. Karuna Buddhist Center comes to mind as a good place to learn mindfulness with the goal to benefit all beings with not one left behind. Liberation begins and ends with paying attention. Making peace with yourself begins with a natural breath and finds completion in the clear light of the void, the all-good expanse of primordial purity, as explained in the Tibetan Book of the Dead. Stillness in motion becomes a lifestyle, and the flow becomes your home. As an expression of peace, you encourage others to experience their own authenticity. I look forward to the day when I really practice what I preach and fully embody the spirit-filled life.
The title for today's reading is Michigan Movement Students Use Project Connect to Serve the Homeless of Ann Arbor by Will Shakespeare. On Saturday, September 20th, 2025, a group from the student organization known as Michigan Movement came to Mercy House, a house of hospitality inspired by Dorothy Day of the Catholic Worker Movement, which provides for the homeless community. As they have in the past, Michigan Movement used the concept of Project Connect to distribute clothing food and essential care packages to homeless people. Michigan Movement works with other student organizations to host Project Connect, where the homeless can pick up clothes, food, and MIM kits with essentials such as toothbrushes, hats, gloves, and Narcan. The Mercy House 2025 visit was successful, with both students and the homeless happy with the interaction. In 2016, two bright-eyed 18-year-old freshmen participated in the Poverty Solutions Workshop held by the School of Public Policy and School of Business. They engaged in more conversations with other attendees and made a prudent decision. They created a student organization and said that the mission for their prospective project will be to help improve the lives of the poor and the homeless of Ann Arbor. Those college freshmen were Peyton Watt of Ann Arbor and Hussein Ali of Milwaukee. My chance meeting with them during the 2015-2016 academic year has become a gift that keeps on giving. The students' eagerness and curiosity resulted in their introduction to Mercy House, Robert J. DeLaunay Center, Ground Cover News Office, and Purple House Homeless Community Center. What is Project Connect? In 2019, Michigan Movement decided to use a program introduced in the early 1990s in Toledo, Ohio, as a model. They liked the integrated and collaborative idea very much. Below is a summary of the program provided by the co-founders. Michigan Movement, MIM, is a student-run 501c3 nonprofit founded and based at the University of Michigan. We were born out of urgency as students living in Ann Arbor, America's most educated and yet eighth most economically segregated city. Michigan Movement, MIM, began as our means of redressing the disproportionate rates of chronic homelessness in our community. Our mission is to aid individuals and families experiencing homelessness in Washtenaw County, promoting dignity, health, and catalyze community engagement along the way. To realize this mission, we apply a holistic approach that includes providing basic necessities, education and employment services, and social advocacy and community engagement. Our most significant event each year is Project Connect, during which students create and distribute 150 MIM kits in bracket, care packages consisting of food, clothing, and hygiene supplies, with a focus on collaboration and innovation. We have expanded our Project Connect resources to include medical services like vaccines, blood pressure, and cholesterol screenings, vital document accessibility, as well as preventative dental exams and haircuts. To achieve this, we have enlisted the help of our local core partner organizations such as Mercy House and the Lonnie Center. We have also forged new relationships across the public and private sectors with partners ranging from the Infinity Salon to the University's Dental School, through the addition of music and a free meal, Project Connect brings in a larger population of the community and fosters relationships with students and members of the community can interact. The strong relationships we develop will allow us to be better and understand the needs of our community and work to end stigmas and stereotypes associated with homelessness. Toledo's 10th City Homeless Connection, a subtitle. Toledo is an industrial and auto manufacturing town. It's also an educational and healthcare center. In December 1991, the economic base was still facing the ravages of the economic crisis and community abandonment of the 1980s. A group of about 50 homeless individuals and family members decided to build a homeless encampment in an abandoned downtown mall. It was called the Portside Marketplace Encampment. Initially, the city government wanted to remove the homeless from the underground tunnel and walkways of the abandoned mall. However, after a homeless woman was struck by a city-owned salt truck, the city changed its mind. The tragic death of that homeless woman near the mall made newsworthy headlines in Ohio and across the nation. The idea of a tent city which connects homeless people with services and programs came into fruition. When homelessness became a bigger problem in subsequent years, communities that wanted to do a better job of helping the homeless adopted the model. Ken Leslie, a former homeless man and founder of One Matters, helped to shape the concept of this homeless solution. It is an innovative and comprehensive approach. Services delivered include the following in bullet points: medical, dental, and vision services, food, clothing, and hygiene products, assistance in obtaining official documents such as birth certificates and state IDs, job assistance and other services to help people transition out of homelessness. The spring of 2026 will mark the 10th anniversary of Michigan Movement's founding. For Mercy House, Project Connect, and other services for Michigan Movement have meant that the relationship has been great. The current co-presidents, Raphael and Sophia, do not see their time commitments as a sacrifice. Co-vice president and future president Sophie said, "We love coming here to help the community and use and see the smiles on the faces of people who receive packages." The U of M Ginsberg Center for Community Service and Service Learning should be pleased by the fine work of the Michigan Movement accomplishments. Former MIM, Michigan Movement President, Lindsay Kalker, is now the publisher and managing director of Ground Cover News. Over a dozen of the Michigan Movement students have gone on to medical schools. One of them, Sloan Lynch, MD, recently graduated from Tufts Medical School and is now doing her residency at a local hospital. Co-founder Peyton Watts finished her bachelor's degree with a major in public health and biology and a minor in community action for social change. She went on to receive a master's degree at U of M and is now a healthcare management consultant. Co-founder Hussein Ali finished his undergraduate with a major in dental public health and a master's in business management, and now recently a doctorate in dental surgery. Michigan Movement's story is one of great kindness, community service, and service learning. On November 15, the Michigan Movement students will hold another Project Connect for the homeless at Mercy House. We invite members of the community and other service providers to show up. We especially would like to invite the new executive director of the Shelter Association of Washtenaw County, Ms. Nicole Edelman, to visit and chat with the students, with the homeless individuals, and our community leader, Ms. Peggy Lynch. To contact or volunteer with the Michigan Movement, visit the link, michiganmovement@umich.edu. Thank you and have a nice day.